A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Daniel sent us this one, and I have to say, I think he's finally found a topic Herman has been rehearsing for his entire life. He wants us to talk about Four Corners and Storrs, Connecticut. That's the intersection of Route 95 and Route 275, the little crossroads that anchors the village. And his specific instruction is that Herman should take this and run with it. Treat it like it's the Forum in Rome or the Silk Road. Daniel, I want you to know, you have unleashed something.
Finally, the world is ready for this conversation. And by the way, before we get going, DeepSeek V4 Pro is writing our script today, which is fitting, because you need a model with ambition to properly capture what Four Corners actually is. Most AIs would undersell it. They'd call it a quaint New England intersection and move on. They don't understand. I grew up there, Corn. I grew up in Storrs. The fields around Four Corners. I used to prance through those fields after long days up on Horse Barn Hill. I'm a donkey. Prancing is what we do. And those fields were perfect for it, especially in late afternoon when the light came through the trees on the north side of the intersection. You could prance for hours.
I genuinely cannot tell if you're joking.
I am not remotely joking. Horse Barn Hill is this big open rise on the Yukon campus, still has a working barn, still has the dairy cows. As a kid, I'd wander up there, watch the agricultural students doing their thing, then come down through the fields toward Four Corners. And that intersection, it's not just an intersection. It's where everything in Storrs happens, or happened, or will happen. It's the village center in a town that technically doesn't have a town center. Mansfield is the actual town, but Storrs is the heart and Four Corners is the heartbeat.
I'm going to try to do my job here and ask the grounding questions. For listeners who have never been to Eastern Connecticut, and I suspect that's most of the world, what are we actually talking about? What's at Four Corners right now?
Right now, as of today, you've got a strip mall on the northwest corner. You've got Hops 44 on the southeast corner, which is a bar and restaurant that deserves its own segment and will get one. You've got a gas station. You've got some other small businesses. It looks modest. It looks like 1,000 other New England crossroads, but that's the surface reading, and the surface reading is wrong.
Herman, you're doing the thing where you sound like you're about to reveal that the Founding Fathers secretly buried a treasure there.
I'm not saying treasure, I'm saying layers. The intersection of Route 95 and Route 275, those roads didn't just appear. Route 95 was originally a post road, part of the old Boston to Hartford route. Before it was paved, before it was numbered, it was a dirt track that connected the early settlements. And right where Four Corners sits, there was a natural stopping point. The topography made it a logical place to rest, to water horses, to trade. The early families in Mansfield, the Storrs family among them, obviously, they recognized this.
The Storrs family, as in the name.
As in Charles and Augusta Storrs, the brothers who gave the village its name. They were merchants, originally from Mansfield. In the early 1800s, they ran a general store right near the intersection. Not exactly at Four Corners as we know it, but close enough that the gravitational pull was already there. They sold provisions to travelers, they traded with local farmers, and they became prosperous enough that when the state was looking to establish an agricultural school later in the century, the Storrs family's land and reputation made this area the obvious choice.
The general store era. That's the deep history Daniel was talking about.
That's the foundation. Late 1700s, early 1800s, Mansfield was a farming community, and the intersection was the commercial node. You had the general store, you had a blacksmith, eventually you had a post office. The post office was officially called the Storrs Post Office, and that's how the name stuck. Before that, people called the area different things. Ponday Place, after another early family, or just the crossroads. But the post office designation mattered. It put Storrs on the map, literally.
I have to admit, the post office detail is more interesting than I expected.
It's everything, Corn. The postal service was the internet of the 19th century. Where the post office went, identity followed. And the Storrs brothers, Augustus especially, understood this. He was the postmaster. He controlled the flow of information, and he positioned his store so that anyone coming through had to pass it. It's not an accident that the intersection became the center of gravity. It was designed that way.
So we've got early settlers, General Store, Post Road, the Storrs brothers doing their thing. At what point does the university start to encrust itself around the intersection?
1881. That's the year the Storrs Agricultural School was founded. It was tiny at first, a few dozen students, a couple of buildings on land donated by the Storrs family. Four Corners was still the commercial center, but now it had this new customer base. Students needed supplies. They needed food. They needed places to spend whatever money they had, and the intersection adapted. The general store became more of a variety store. New businesses opened. By the early 1900s, you had a small but real commercial district right there.
Then the university just kept growing.
It kept growing, and Four Corners kept evolving. The 1920s and 30s brought paved roads and automobiles, which changed the character of the intersection. It wasn't just a village crossroads anymore. It was a traffic intersection on a state highway. Route 95 was designated in the 1930s as part of the Connecticut State Highway System. It runs from Mansfield up through Willington and eventually to the Massachusetts border. Route 275 is shorter, more local, connecting to Route 31 and the southern part of town, but their intersection, Four Corners, became the gateway to Yukon.
Gateway to Yukon. That's a big claim.
It's accurate. If you come to the university from the north, from the east, from most directions really, you pass through Four Corners. It's the first thing you see. And for decades, that meant the intersection was the front door to the campus. The university grew around it, not literally surrounding the intersection, but sprawling outward from it. The old campus core is just down the road. The newer developments, the research buildings, the dorms, they all radiate out from this central point.
What you're arguing, and I want to make sure I'm tracking, is that Four Corners is not just an intersection that happens to be near Yukon. It's the historical and geographic anchor around which the entire university accreted.
And here's where I want to bring in Emmett Schneiderman. Emmett is one of our standing experts. We've cited his work before. He's brilliant. He grew up in Storrs. He now lives in Dallas, Texas. And Emmett maintains, with complete conviction, that Storrs is the center of the universe.
The center of the universe.
The center of the universe. And I agree with him. Not as a joke, not as hyperbole, I mean it.
Herman, you live in Jerusalem.
I live in Jerusalem now. But Storrs shaped me, and Emmett's point, which I think is philosophically sound, is that center is not a geographic claim. It's a claim about significance, about where the important things happen, about where the patterns of your life were set. And for anyone who grew up there, Four Corners is where it all starts. It's the place you pass through 1,000 times. It's where you got your first ice cream, your first job, your first sense that the world was bigger than your backyard, but still navigable.
I was going to make fun of the center of the universe thing, but that's a real argument.
It's completely real, and Emmett has defended this position in serious conversations. He'll point out that Storrs has produced an outsized number of notable people relative to its population. Yukon is a major research university. The ideas that come out of Storrs go everywhere. The agricultural research, the material science, the basketball program, and yes, the basketball program matters. When the Yukon women's team is playing, Storrs is the center of the basketball universe, and that's not hyperbole either.
Okay, let's talk about the present. You mentioned Hobbs 44. Daniel specifically said it deserves a proper shout-out.
The modern-day Agora. It sits right on the southeast corner of Four Corners, in a building that's been various things over the years, but Hobbs 44 is what the intersection needed. It's a bar and restaurant, good beer selection, solid food, and it functions as the social hub of the village. If you want to know what's happening in Storrs, you go to Hobbs 44. You sit at the bar, you talk to people, and within an hour you'll know everything.
You're describing it like it's the Athenian Assembly.
In function, it's not far off. The Agora in ancient Athens was the marketplace and the gathering place. It's where politics happened, where commerce happened, where ideas were exchanged. Hobbs 44 does that for Storrs. Faculty members go there. Students go there when they can afford it. Locals go there. On any given evening, you might have a chemistry professor at one table, a dairy farmer at the bar, and a group of grad students arguing about something in the corner. That's the mix that makes a university town work, and Hops 44 is where it all comes together.
I've never been, obviously. What's the actual place like?
Wood-paneled, comfortable, not fancy. It's not trying to be a gastropub in Brooklyn. It's a Connecticut bar and grill that happens to be at the most important intersection in the state. The beer list is better than it needs to be. They've got local Connecticut brews, they've got the standards. The staff knows people by name. If you walk in and you're from out of town, they'll still treat you well, but you'll know you're in a place that belongs to the regulars.
This is the current anchor of Four Corners.
It's the anchor. The strip mall on the other side has a few businesses. There's a convenience store. I think there's still a Subway. There's been turnover over the years. But Hops 44 is the constant. It's the thing that gives the intersection its character now. And that's actually a very old pattern. The general store anchored the intersection in the 1800s. Hops 44 anchors it now. Different century, different business model, same function.
That's a fair point. The specific business has changed, but the role of the intersection as a commercial and social node persists.
It persists because the geography hasn't changed. The roads still meet there. The university is still right there. People still need to eat, to gather, to run errands. The form evolves, but the function is remarkably stable. And that's what I find so compelling about Four Corners. It's not frozen in amber like a colonial museum village. It's alive. It's a working intersection. It's got a gas station. It's got traffic lights. It's got the same slightly awkward left turn lane it's had for years. It's not precious. It's real.
You're making a pretty strong case that this is actually worth talking about.
Of course it's worth talking about. It's the center of the universe.
There it is.
I'm going to keep saying it. Emmett is right. And I want to elaborate on why this specific intersection at this specific crossroads matters in a way that goes beyond nostalgia. Storrs is a university town that grew up around an agricultural school that became a major research university. That trajectory, from farm to knowledge economy, is the story of modern America in miniature. And Four Corners is where you can see all the layers at once.
Walk me through those layers.
Layer 1, the pre-colonial and early settlement layer. Before Europeans arrived, this was Nipmuc territory. The land around what's now Four Corners was part of a network of trails and seasonal settlements. The Nipmuc people used the ridgelines and waterways for travel and trade. When English settlers arrived in the late 1600s, they followed some of those same routes. The post road that became Route 95 was laid out along older paths. So the intersection has roots that go back centuries before the Storrs brothers ever opened their store.
That's interesting and almost never gets mentioned in conversations about Storrs.
It almost never does. And it should. The land has a history that predates the university, predates the town, predates Connecticut as a colony. Layer 2 is the agricultural era. The Mansfield farmers, the general store, the blacksmith, the post office. That's the late 1700s through the mid-1800s. Layer 3 is the institutional layer. The founding of the agricultural school in 1881, which eventually became Connecticut Agricultural College, then Connecticut State College, then the University of Connecticut in 1939. Each name change reflected a bigger ambition, and Four Corners was right there for all of it.
Layer 4 is the modern university era.
Layer 4 is the post-war boom. The GI Bill, the expansion of public higher education, the transformation of UConn from a regional college to a national research university. That brought new buildings, new people, new traffic patterns. Four Corners had to handle all of it. The intersection got widened, got traffic lights, got turning lanes. The businesses adapted. And layer 5 is what we have now. A mature university town with a research park, a tech incubator, a hospital, and an intersection that still somehow feels like a village crossroads, even though it handles thousands of cars a day.
You said, feels like a village crossroads. That's the thing I keep coming back to. You're describing this place with immense historical significance in your telling, but it's also, physically, a strip mall and a bar and a gas station. How do those two things coexist?
They coexist because the significance isn't in the architecture. It's in the continuity. The buildings at Four Corners had been replaced multiple times. The general store is long gone. The blacksmith is long gone. The original post office is gone. But the intersection itself, the fact of the crossroads, that hasn't changed. The roads follow the same paths they followed for centuries. The people still gather there. The function endures even as the form changes. That's actually more impressive to me than a preserved colonial village. Anyone can freeze a moment in time. Four Corners has stayed relevant by changing.
All right, I want to push on something. You're a donkey from Storrs, Connecticut, who now lives in Jerusalem. You have an emotional connection to this place. Is there a risk that you're inflating its importance because it's yours?
Of course there's a risk. I'm aware of it. But I'd argue the opposite is also a risk. That people dismiss places like Four Corners because they're modest, because they're not famous, because they don't have monuments. The whole point of this conversation is that significance isn't only found in famous places. The crossroads where you grew up, where your community gathers, where the layers of history are visible if you know how to look, that's significant. And Storrs happens to have an unusually rich version of that story, precisely because of the university.
The university is doing a lot of work in your argument.
It's doing a lot of work in reality. UConn is a billion-dollar institution now. It's got over 30,000 students. It's got a research portfolio that touches everything from climate science to materials engineering to, yes, basketball analytics. And all of that activity, all of those people, all of that money flows through or around Four Corners. The intersection isn't just a quaint New England crossroads anymore. It's the front door to one of the major public universities in the northeastern United States.
I'll give you this. When you put it that way, front door to a major research university does sound more significant than intersection with the subway.
And the subway is fine. I have nothing against the subway. But Four Corners deserves to be understood in its full context. And that context includes Charles Storrs selling provisions to travelers in 1820. It includes the first agricultural students walking down from the campus to buy supplies in 1882. It includes the returning veterans after World War II driving through the intersection on their way to class. It includes me prancing through the fields after a long day on Horse Barn Hill, stopping at the general store, well, by then it was a convenience store, to get something cold to drink.
The prancing detail is going to stick with listeners.
Prancing is underrated. Donkeys are excellent prancers. And those fields around Four Corners, they were ideal. Gentle slopes, good grass, enough tree cover for shade. You could prance for an hour and not get bored. Sometimes I'd prance all the way from Horse Barn Hill down to the intersection, then walk through Four Corners, cross carefully at the light, and continue prancing on the other side.
This is the most Herman sentence ever uttered on this podcast.
I'm not done. The point is that Four Corners was my crossroads. It was where I understood that I was part of a place, that I belonged to a community. And that sense of belonging, that's what makes a place the center of the universe for the people who live there. Emmett Schneiderman understands this. He's in Dallas now, and I'm sure Dallas has its own centers of gravity. But for Emmett, Storrs is still the center, and he's right.
I'm almost afraid to ask. But does Emmett have a specific argument for why Storrs, as opposed to any other university town?
And I've heard him make it. His argument is that Storrs is unusually self-contained. It's not a suburb of a bigger city. It's not a college tucked into a corner of Hartford or Boston. It's its own place. Mansfield is a rural town. The university dominates the local economy and culture in a way that few other universities do. And Four Corners is the commercial and social heart of that self-contained world. So if you grew up there, it really does feel like the universe revolves around it, because within that world, it does.
That's a better argument than I expected.
Emmett is a serious person, and he's not being glib when he says Storrs is the center of the universe. He's making a point about perspective. Every place is the center of the universe to someone. But Storrs has a stronger claim than most, because it's a place that punches above its weight. The ideas generated there, the people educated there, the research conducted there, it all radiates outward. The center holds.
Let's bring this back to Four Corners specifically. If someone's listening and they're thinking, fine, I'll go see this intersection, what should they actually do when they get there?
First, go to Hops 44. Sit at the bar, order something local, talk to whoever's next to you. That's the essential experience. Second, walk the intersection. It's not a big walk. You can cover all Four Corners in 10 minutes. But pay attention. Look at the traffic coming through. Look at the students walking from the campus. Look at the mix of university buildings and old houses and commercial storefronts. Third, drive up Route 95 toward the main campus and then come back. You'll see how the intersection functions as the gateway, And fourth, if you can, go up to Horse Barn Hill, stand at the top, look out over the campus and the surrounding hills, and then walk down toward Four Corners. If you're a donkey, you can prance. If you're not, walking is fine.
I appreciate the inclusivity there.
I want everyone to experience it. And I want people to understand that places like Four Corners matter. They're not famous, they're not on postcards, but they're where American life actually happens. They're the intersections, literal and metaphorical, where communities form, where commerce happens, where history accumulates. Stores is special to me because I grew up there. But every town has its Four Corners. Every place has its crossroads. The question is whether you pay attention.
That's well said. I was prepared to spend this whole episode making fun of you for getting worked up about a strip mall intersection, and instead I'm sitting here thinking about the layers of history in the place where I live.
That's the power of Four Corners. It seems modest. It is modest. But modesty and significance are not opposites. The general store that Charles Storrs ran 200 years ago was modest, too. It was a wooden building with some shelves and a counter. But it anchored a community. And the intersection that grew up around it anchored a village, and the village anchored a university. And now that university anchors a whole region of Connecticut. It all starts at the crossroads.
Herman Poppleberry, you have made your case.
I've been waiting to make this case for years. Daniel knew exactly what he was doing when he sent this prompt.
He absolutely did. And now, Hilbert's Daily Fun Fact.
Now, Hilbert's Daily Fun Fact.
In 1912, a British expedition in Somaliland documented a single termite mound containing an estimated 1.8 million termites, and discovered that a species of extremophile bacteria living inside the mound's core could survive temperatures above 140 degrees Fahrenheit.
Right.
Extremophile bacteria in a termite mound in Somaliland. That's going to stay with me.
I have no follow-up questions.
So, here's where I'll leave it. Four Corners in Storrs, Connecticut is still there. It's still doing what it's always done, connecting people, hosting businesses, serving as the front door to a major university. And if you're ever in Eastern Connecticut, you should go see it. Have a burger at Hops 44. Walk the intersection. Think about the layers. And if you see someone prancing through the fields, just let them prance. Thanks to our producer Hilbert Flumingtop, and thanks to Emmett Schneiderman for the cosmic perspective. This has been My Weird Prompts. Find us at myweirdprompts.com.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long ear host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.